You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Are you tired of the I can't mindset? The I'm not good enough mindset? Do you feel like your negative thoughts control your life? Well, you came to the right place. Because in the next 30 minutes, you will learn how to break free from the limiting mindset of anxiety, fear, victimization, depression, trauma, and self-hatred by reprogramming your subconscious mind. It's time to master your mind with Dr. Erica.
Hello, hello, good people, and welcome to Master Your Mind with Dr. Erica. Thank you so much for joining me today. I always want everyone to take a deep breath and release, because so much of our day is spent, in our thoughts and our emotions and in doing what we have to do on a daily basis. And we rarely stop to breathe and appreciate the life and breath that is within us. And so I always like to breathe. Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am a psychologist with over 23 years of experience in mental health. And one thing I know for sure is that you are worthy and deserving of having anything that you can imagine and dream of, but you have to commit to yourself. And so one of the things that I do daily to commit to myself and my mental health is I am a daily user of CBD oil. And I often have to re-educate people because CBD does not come from marijuana. Actually, by legal terms, it only has 0.3% of THC. So it doesn't get you high. There are no psychoactive properties in it. It actually comes from the hemp plant, which is a sister of marijuana. The mother is cannabis. And we know that every human walking has an endocannabinoid system that is responsible for our homeostasis. And we have receptor sites in every organ of our body that seeks out CBD. So when we take in CBD by tincture, by gummies, by vape, by topical, again, we're taking in a substance, an oil, a plant-based oil that is organic that our body needs to help it create that homeostasis. And so everyone knows I am an advocate for it. I educate all of my patients on the benefits of CBD. And if you want to learn more about it for pain management, for anxiety, insomnia, any type of inflammatory physical condition you might have, stress. Again, it has benefits for both physical and mental health. I encourage you to educate yourself and try it. You can find more information. My website is healthyminds.expert. The website for my CBD dispensary is hemphappier.com. I provide counseling and coaching services, so please check me out. Again, that's healthyminds.expert. I want to welcome my special guest today. She is one of my closest friends. I love this woman, besides who she is as an amazing woman, when I look at the long list of her achievements, I'm even more amazed that I am so blessed to call her my friend. Her name is Ami Eubanks Davis, and she is the chief executive officer of Braven. So she founded Braven. It is a national nonprofit that she founded in 2013 to help underrepresented college students develop the skills, confidence, experiences, and networks to secure strong first jobs after graduation. Ami leads a talented team of regional executive directors, as well as the heads of product, technology, external affairs, and staff to ensure the best possible experience for fellows. In partnership with university and employer partners, Braven is providing a systemic, sustainable, diverse talent strategy for our nation. To date, Braven have served more than 3,300 college students in Chicago, the Bay Area, Newark, New Jersey, and New York City. Okay, so that's pretty impressive here. But what's even more impressive is she started her career as a Teach for America Corps member in New Orleans, where she taught sixth grade. She continued to teach for several years until she transitioned to work for the Breakthrough National Team. And she has spent the majority of her career at Teach for America as an executive vice president of public affairs and engagement. She oversaw the organization's 100-person communications, marketing, strategic initiatives, and research team to ensure alignment between the organization's goals and core values in internal and external communications, brand image, strategic initiatives, and research. She is also held various other roles at Teach for America, including managing director, regional operations and vice president, and new site development. Ami is a 2020 Leadership Great Chicago Fellow, 2019 Obama Foundation Fellow, PAHARA, I think I'm saying that right, Aspen Fellow, a member of the Aspen Global Network, Leadership Network, a Braddock Scholar, a Draper Richards Foundation Entrepreneur, and a Camelback Ventures Fellow. Ami Eubank Davis is an executive with more than two decades of experience in the nonprofit education sector. Ami's career achievements reflect her innovative and entrepreneurial spirit, as well as her ability to lead large teams and transformative initiatives related to diversity and inclusion, systemic change in higher ed, and more. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me. This is such a great pleasure to do this with you, my dear friend. And it's funny, you hear all that and you're like, I'm just your friend. We just, you know, go way back. Our husbands go way back. Our kids are so close. Our daughters, as you know, and our son look up to your daughters, you know, as role models to them. So, you know, I'm just me from the block, you know, I'm just, and that's friend.
What makes you even more amazing, because you are that personable person, but at the same time, you are a force, and being an intelligent, a God-fearing African-American woman, mother, you know, business owner. Again, I just have so much love and respect for you. And I wanted you to come on my show and really share your journey and your mission, because your name, the name of your organization is Braven. And I have to say, you are one of the most bravest women I know to step out on your conviction. And that's what I want you to talk to my listeners about.
Yeah. Sure. Well, take one to know one. You know, honestly, as you know, I grew up on the south side of the city of Chicago. And my parents were like many, many Black Americans to this day. They were doing everything possible to give us a better shot at economic opportunity and opportunity in general. And had a really awful situation happen very early in my life. I was 2.5 years old, and my father died, you know, somewhat suddenly. He had leukemia, and he had a childhood form of leukemia. And they just basically, my mom in particular, was left with two little girls as a single mom, not by any form of choice. And so she decided to go back to the school to pick up a real estate license or just do something more entrepreneurial, because she just couldn't figure out how she was going to care for us, honestly, with a traditional kind of 9-to-5 job. So she goes back to a college that's a little bit on the lines of like a community college. Now they do grant 4-year degrees as well. And she meets my dad now, and they have this crazy idea to go into buying buildings together. And so their first piece of property that they bought together sat 4 blocks away from a notorious gang headquarters at the time in an economically depressed neighborhood. And now that piece of property sits 7 blocks away from the Obama home. Wow. And so my older sister and myself, by the time we hit high school, my parents' business continued to do better, even though it was still, you know, really hard for them as Black entrepreneurs at a time when the banks wouldn't lend them money, all that. But basically, it was never lost on me and my older sister in particular, because we had 28 first cousins on one side of the family alone, who were mainly Southsiders. We still go to church on the south side of the city. And it got really clear that we were having different opportunities because of this economic progression of my family. And so whenever I think about economic opportunity, it's not theoretical for me. It is like brass tacks. Like, we got to go to better schools. We got to have different adventures in our lives. And it wasn't because we were any better. We weren't any smarter. It's just that my parents happened to go into a business that, in many ways, they didn't have any business going into. They knew nothing about it, but it really did pay off over time. And so that's how I ended up doing Teach for America. After college, I really wanted to pay it forward into the Black community. I felt very fortunate to have the walk in life that I had started to have, but I never forgot the other part of my life. Like, that was my life. So I knew kids growing up on the block. I knew kids who didn't have the same fortunes that I had had, but they were just as talented. So I wanted to try very hard to do that. So I taught a group of sixth graders in New Orleans, a city that we both know and love.
Yes.
And those sixth graders are now in their mid-30s and early 30s. And I lived in that city for 7 years. And as they kept growing up, I was like, why are y'all growing up? The first group decided to either go into work or go into college after high school. And the ones who went into college happened to graduate the same year of Hurricane Katrina. And you know, Hurricane Katrina is just like the pandemic that we've been living through recently, the racial injustice of, you know, Black people over the last 400 years that we experienced last summer.
Yes.
You know, basically, you could tell that there was a group of people in New Orleans who really had been left behind. But my students, I really thought, because they were coming out of college with a degree, that they were going to be okay economically, even if they didn't move back to New Orleans immediately. And one of my favorite students was going to Northwestern University up in Evanston, a great school. She had been working for a decade, as long as I knew her, and her mom, Deborah Guder, had been too, to, you know, get Katika through school. These are amazing, hardworking people. And then she starts to say, well, what am I going to do next? Oh, I think I'm going to do Teach for America. I was like, oh my God, that's so great. I'm her teacher. I'm loving this. And then my favorite recruiter meets her on the campus and comes into my office and says, oh, I met her. I don't think she's going to get into Teach for America. And I was like, wait, what? How is this possible? This young woman has been working so hard for 2 decades, really. And her mom had too. How is that possible that she wouldn't get in? And basically, there was a lot of bias in the selection model for Teach for America. And I knew we were going to change it, and we did. But what I knew is that she was competing against other young people, mainly who were white and from really privileged backgrounds, whose parents were coaching them through these application processes for jobs. And so it just wasn't fair. She was not on fair playing ground, even though she had the same kind of degree, really good grades, all of that. She ends up getting into Teach for America. She becomes a star teacher. She graduates from Harvard with her master's degree a few years ago. Now she's a principal. She's fabulous and always had been fabulous. But when she was going through that whole journey, I just was like, there's so many young people like her who've done everything right. They've done everything we've told them to do. And, you know, it's just not fair. And so Braven really came as a result of a paper I wrote for the Aspen Institute on the lost and hidden talent in this country that's often Black and brown and from first-generation college-going backgrounds, from low-income backgrounds, who are not earning a full dollar. They're earning 66 cents on the dollar with their bachelor's degrees. And that's just simply unfair. And basically, that creates a scarring effect for the rest of their lives that they never overcome economically. And so Braven partners with large state schools to run a course during sophomore year or transfer juniors from community college into the four-year university. And we get these volunteers from the professional workforce who coach teams of 5 to 8 students through the course. And why that is so important is because who you know matters mightily. And basically, those volunteers break open their social capital networks for these young people who don't know anybody in the professional workforce. And those volunteers help them get internships. They help them get jobs over time. And then Braven, we continue to support students for another 2.5 years. So it's a 3-year experience until they come out and earn the full dollar, which at this point in time, I am always saying, look, this is a solvable problem. There are a lot of problems in this country that are hard to solve. This is a solvable one. These group of young people have overcome so many barriers that getting a strong, high quality job, earning the full dollar, and then honestly living in a life of economic choice is something they have earned the right to do. And we should just support them in doing that.
I love it. I love it. So it's basically the professionals that are educating them on networking in preparation Is that the core of what they need?
That's right. And it's really the rigor of it. So, you know, young people who have parents and family members who are doing everything possible. I think in this country, a lot of times people assume that you are poor because you don't work hard or you didn't try hard enough in school or whatever. You know, my own personal background, I know, like, my parents were doing everything right. My dad was in dental school. He was 6 months away from graduating from dental school when he was struck with leukemia. My mom was at home with us. All of a sudden, she's a single mom, not working. Like, she hadn't done anything wrong. There was nothing she had done wrong. There's always this assumption that people have done something wrong to end up being in a precarious economic situation. And so basically, what Braven does is a lot of high-income families take for granted what the networks do for their children and what the preparation does for their children. So when you're preparing for a job interview, especially if it's in an industry where your parents have worked or your cousins or your aunts or your uncles or friends or your families have worked, you turn to that person and say, oh, can you tell me what it's going to be like? What should I prepare for? So what we do in Braven is we literally, like a class, I'm a former teacher, I'm a talent nerd, I really love seeing the potential in people, bringing out the greatest potential in that person. We prep them in terms of, like, no, this is what a really strong resume looks like. This is what a strong LinkedIn profile looks like. Now you have to go do it and you have to get a grade on it. Here's what a strong cover letter looks like. And I taught English. So a 5-paragraph essay, you can give a grade on. Well, you can give a grade on a cover letter too. But if you don't come from a family where you're going to get that coaching and assistance, it doesn't happen. And then the labor market faults you for it. That's no fault of your own. And the schools that we partner with, they're such great institutions. They're doing all they can, but they don't have tons of money and big endowments, but yet they're serving millions of kids who are first generation low income. But their career services departments, for instance, at a San Jose State, 26,000 undergrads, 50% of them are on the Pell Grant. That means their families are earning $50,000 or less for a family of four. And their students are going to a school where there may be 10 people in career services. It's just a mismatch. Whereas if you're at one of the very, you know, well-off schools, quote unquote, elite schools, you have endowments that are like multis of millions of dollars that feed into very big career services teams, very big alumni networks, et cetera, that just help catapult a bunch of students who honestly already have every advantage possible. So that's what we do at Braven. We really teach those hard skills of what you need to do to get a job, but then we manufacture social capital by getting these coaches in from the professional workforce who are right at the point where they're likely to manage a team. And why that's important is we're doing a lot of learning and development for that group of young people about how do you lead and manage a diverse team. And why that's important is because those young people who end up becoming hiring managers, you want them to really think differently about diverse talent and where they might be searching for their talent. And so it really is this twofold effect where we also impact that kind of a person who's in the labor market saying, hey, you need to learn how to manage and lead a diverse team and honestly take a bet on some talents you otherwise wouldn't. And they do, which has been really beautiful. So our students have been coming out even during the pandemic, 22 percentage points above the national average for earning the full dollar, getting internships at a far higher rate, and honestly putting themselves and ultimately their families on the path to economic freedom.
I love it. I love it. And so you talked about the pandemic. And one of the things that I know is that you've continued, you just pivoted. And I want to hear, how did you manage that? Because everyone, when it first hit, was really turned upside down about how do we continue to do what we've been doing or what we know how to do.
Yeah. So me, like a bunch of other people, I was like having a panic attack. I was like, wait a minute, what is going on? I'll never forget, like, one day, like, just sitting at my desk, at my new desk in my bedroom office, like a bunch of other people. And I was like, man, you know, it feels real hot in here. My chest is real tight. But, we live in, you know, outside of Chicago. It's cold in March. And I had to go open my window. And I just was like, I can't really breathe. I was having a panic attack.
You needed some CBD oil.
I needed a lot of stuff because I was like, what is going on? But what was really happening was we had students at San Jose State. Many of our students at San Jose State, it's in the Bay Area. Many of our students are food insecure. They're housing insecure because the Bay Area is so expensive. Then We have our students here in Chicago from the South and the West Side, you know, hardworking parts of this city, but with some of the lowest income neighborhoods. And many of our students are working like two jobs. They're going to school full time. They're going to work full time. So I'm like, dang, they're losing their jobs at restaurants, at the airport. Like, I just was so taking on all of like the worries of these young people who work so hard, who were supposed to come out into one of the best economies ever. Then we had our students at Rutgers Newark, another city, great city, but it's a city that often does have its sets of struggles, especially with the African-American, the Black population. And then our latest site was in New York, in the Bronx, which got hit hardest first.
Yes.
So we had all these students in the Bronx who were having to be in their family apartments that are very small, with lots of people in them, with COVID just going rampant fast. And just hearing their stories was just so crazy. And so I just was so overwhelmed, but I was like, we got to figure this out because these young people need to be able to be gainfully employed at the end of this. So we basically really quickly, 80% of the Braven content actually is already online. I never think of it as the special secret sauce. The secret sauce is the coaches that come from the professional workforce, putting the students on a team and a cohort on their campus to build those networks, to build that family, to build that sense of pride. We are somebody, we're going to be somebody, we're going to do something. It's very much like that. And so that said, because we were in four different locations, our team had always been on Zoom. So very quickly, we were able to put those coaches and those cohorts on Zoom. So before we knew it, we looked up and we had, you know, four different campuses of students, close to 1,000 students on Zooms. And when you think about our larger alumni network, all of a sudden you're like, oh my goodness, we actually can keep going. And what the students ended up saying was, it was one of the most important classes they were in, because everything else stopped. Everything else really did stop for them. And this Braven was one of the few things that not only kept going, but kept going at least where you could see each other, at least where you could still come together in community. Your coaches were still coaching you, even though they were online. So we pivoted in a way that I would have never thought. We are a hybrid model for sure. I believe in that in-person piece. And then all of a sudden, the results came back as strong as they had been when we were fully hybrid. And so now what's so interesting is coming out of the pandemic, because I'm going to put that out into the universe.
I know,
that we are coming out.
I'm receiving it. We are ready to
coming out.
Yeah.
Right. Out of this pandemic, we will actually continue to have the hybrid in-person and online experience, but we will also now have a fully online experience to be able to work with students who don't fit in one of our four core markets, because so many students have said, look, we still, you know, there was already a great recession and the Great Depression for Black and brown young people from low-income families before the pandemic hit. And that's not going to go away, just even if the job market picks up. Like, they will still continue to need additional supports to land a strong job.
Yeah, I love it, though, because it sounds like what happened was, in a positive way, people were connecting more virtually.
Yeah.
And with different locations. So there was like a more cohesiveness, if you will.
That's right.
So,
and all of a sudden we had all these volunteers from all over the country, because you had the pandemic hit, you know, March, but then really, you know, Black Lives Matter really coming to fruition again, you know, the 400 years of oppression of Black people just on the news, on the front page, et cetera. And so we did have a lot of people from our employer partners say, we want to do good in this moment. What can we do? What is a tangible way? So I was like, look, our students need one-on-one professional mentors too. So they need their coaches, but they need one-on-one professional mentors too, because they need more of a network to help them come out of this strong.
I love it. I love what you do. I love what Braven stands for. I love the fact that you're reaching those individuals that have the potential, just don't have the resources or the network or even the know-how to prepare them to compete in a global economy. And the fact that, you know, you're looking out for their earning potential, which is rare. You ever hear about that. And so I just love what you're doing. Tell my listeners who would be a candidate for your program, and then maybe give them a little bit of access of where they can get involved.
Yeah, so there are four main schools at this point. There will be some others that will come on tap, I think, in the next probably 6 to 9 to 12 months. There are four main campuses. One is in the Bay Area at San Jose State. Another is here in Chicago at National Lewis University, where they just started building an undergraduate university a few years ago from the ground up for first-generation low-income students. And then Rutgers Newark in Newark, which is a huge, large state urban school, and then Lehman College in the Bronx. And basically, if you're at any of those four institutions, that's a great way to tap into Braven and go ahead and go through the experience. It's a course that you get course credits towards graduation. It's a part of your tuition. And basically, those schools have the kind of young people that we would love to have be a part of Braven. So, for example, at San Jose State, we started with 17 students in what was a boot camp about 5 years ago. It's now we've got over 1,300 students on that campus alone.
Wow.
So any of those four campuses. Now, if you're not on one of those campuses, people are like, well, how can I get involved? We have had a group of amazing donors actually say, well, we want other students to participate. So in Chicago, we have an experience. It's the same exact content, the same the model and the method is the exact same, except for we work with students who are not at National Lewis. They're at other Chicagoland institutions called Braven X. And if you just go on our website and email us, we will be able to let you know how you might be able to participate in that. And then we have a pilot going right now for students who are not connected to any of these universities or to Chicago called Braven Online. And again, go to our website and we can let you know whether or not you're able to qualify for that. But we're looking for students who are often identify as first generation from a low income background, Black, Latinx, young people who are underrepresented in the professional workforce. So it's a pretty wide net. There are 1.4 million young people who fit that criteria in college right now.
Wow, that's amazing. So you do have to be in college, registered for college. Okay. Mm-hmm. I love that. And is there a cost to the program, or is just as long as you're in college, it's just a course that you can register for?
That's right. If you're at one of those four schools, it's a course that you just register for. So it's a part of your tuition, basically.
Okay, I love that.
And then, and then for students who aren't at one of those schools, we have some donors. Again, we're in two big pilots, one here in Chicago, one that's online and national, where we're experimenting with, is there another way to deliver the course if you're not attached to one of those universities? That said, from a funding model standpoint, our four university partners, they're amazing. They actually kick in for their students at those four campuses. Then we have a group of donors who are employer partners who kick in for students as well. And then we have individuals as well.
I love that. Okay, we only got 2 minutes, and I really want you to mm-hmm. let them know, you know, if they want to donate, if they want to be a part of it. Put that out there, please.
Yeah, go to BeBraven.org, and you can volunteer either as a coach, which is a big commitment. It's a skill volunteering role for, it takes about 60 hours in the semester, but you get to know a lot of young people, 6 to 8 young people, and you change their lives fundamentally for sure and put them on a different economic path. Or if you have less time, be a professional mentor. You meet with a student for about 3 months and you meet with them weekly, just like we're doing right now. You know, you can just get on a Zoom and help coach them into their field of interest. Or we do mock interviews, et cetera. There's so many ways to volunteer. And then, of course, donate, whether it's $1, $1,000, $100,000. Basically, it takes all of us to make sure that everybody can reach the American dream that they've worked so hard to have.
I love it. I love you. I love what you do. Any last words of wisdom that you want to send to my listeners about really what Braven is all about?
Well, you know, you all are all about the laws of attraction. And what I will say is it only takes one person to significantly change another person's life forever from an economic standpoint. And so, you know, if you donate one time or you volunteer one time, just know that your impact will be lasting and forever.
Yeah, that's it. And that's what I'm all about. That's what I do, what mm-hmm. I do is because I know that it changes lives. And, That's invaluable. Thank you so much, Ami. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your wisdom, your friendship, and just sharing Braven with my listeners, because I know that there's somebody out there listening who needs to connect, because you offer such a wonderful just skill set and opportunity to network and so people can really be their best self. So just thank you.
Well, I appreciate you, and thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to Master Your Mind with Dr. Erica. We will be back next with another terrific episode that will allow you to master your mind. Please visit hemphappier.com for more information about Dr. Erica and CBD oil. See you next week.